Good morning. Please have a seat. Take this opportunity to welcome us all to this time of worship today. And as we gather, may the Spirit of God, which is alive and working in our world and within all of our lives, be felt to be present as we gather this morning. My name is Michael Mugford, and I have the honor of being in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside. And if you are visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're very glad that you have chosen to gather with us this morning on this second Sunday of Lent. We invite you to leave a record of your visit here this morning. We have a guest book just outside the door of the sanctuary. And as well, there's a coffee time following service to which everyone is invited. If you would like to use the offering envelope that's provided for visitors that's in your pews during that offering time, please feel free to do so. Fill it out for us. Let us know you've been here, because we'd love to say thanks for joining us. But certainly there's no requirement that you do so. I think that's everything. I never know what I'm going to say each morning when I come out here. It's always something surprisingly new to me. So as we gather over the last number of months, we have been participating in an acknowledgement of place as we seek to better understand what it means for us to live in right relations with our brothers and sisters in the Indigenous communities. And so I invite us to share together in the following words. For thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people and acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages. And as we gather as a community of Christ, we remind ourselves of Christ's light in our lives and in our community as we light our Christ candle, that it might be the focal point for us as people of faith. We light a candle of peace. Jesus called upon us to be peacemakers and to be peace bringers. And so with this light, it reminds us of our mission in the world. And we light a candle honoring those who are peacekeepers and peacemakers, those who serve in our armed forces in various different aspects of life in our world. And we honor them and their contribution to our communal safety and ask blessings upon them. We think about those who are first responders, who come to us when we are in times of need. And we think of those who staff our emergency rooms and hospitals that look after us when we are at our most vulnerable, and honor them and their ministry in our world. As we gather, I invite us to sing Spirit of Life.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord and thanks and praise.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Let us pray together. God of many names, whose love surrounds all creation, we gather in love today. For this walk of life and all we meet on it. For the days and the nights, the seasons and the changes, and for your companionship, we are grateful. Today and for all our journey, in it all, we celebrate our journey of love. We covenant to share our burdens and our joys with you and with each other, knowing that you are always within us, and we are always together in you forever. Amen. And our opening, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Psalm selection this morning is found at page 746 in Voices United. It'll also be on the screen. I'll read the regular type and ask you to respond with the bold, and we're going to do parts 3 and 4. Give praise, all you who fear God. Proclaim God's greatness, all you children of Jacob.
Stand in awe, all you children of Israel.
For God has neither despised nor scorned the poor in their distress.
You, O God, have not hidden your face from them. You heard them when they called you.
In the presence of your people,
I will praise your name.
You are the theme of my praise in the great assembly.
I will keep my promise in the presence of those who fear you.
Let the poor eat to satisfaction. Let those who seek you praise you. Let all the ends of the earth remember and turn to you, O God. Let all the families of the nations bow down before you.
For yours is the dominion, O God. You rule over the nations. In the presence of your people, I will praise your name.
Even all who sleep in the grave shall worship you. Those who go down into the dust shall bow before you. Our children shall serve you and tell generations yet to come about you.
To the people yet unborn, they shall make known the saving deeds you have done. In the presence of your people, I will praise your name.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 17, the story of Abram and Sarai. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants, after you the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Amen. For our children here this morning, if you would like to gather with me at the front. Good morning, good morning. How are you this? You got a, what's that?
A mash-em.
Wow, it's like a squishy ball. And it pops all over the place. And what have you got? A unicorn? And a bunny. Oh, very cool. It's nice to bring friends with us to church, isn't it? Yeah. Come on over. Way over there. So how are we all this morning? Good, good. Have we had a good week? Yeah? Yeah? Did you enjoy the journey that was your week this last week? Did you think about journey at all from last week when we talked with our rocks? Maybe? Sometimes those things are hard to remember from church because you're all very busy. You come to church and you sing for a little while. We gather here and we talk and we share some time, and then you go upstairs to Sunday school and you share some more time. Like, that's really, really busy. Yeah. Us grown-ups, we just kind of sit here. Pretty passive. That's wonderful. Well, I brought some more rocks with me this morning because I said we're going to each week make little piles of rocks for folks who weren't here last week. There's a little pile of rocks up there that sort of is looking towards those hills and mountains with rivers and streams, right, as we journey towards it. Journeys are really important things, I said last week, remember? And sometimes people take little piles of rocks and put them on their path as they've been traveling on a journey. Do you have rocks? What do you do with your rocks? You play with them? I write words on mine. See? They have words. They didn't come with words. Yeah. You don't have words on your rocks? Ah, okay. Well, the word I wanted to start with this morning is empty. What does empty make you think about? An empty bucket. Yeah. And what would you like to put in the bucket? That rocks? What else did you say? Water. What would you do with a bucket full of water? Pour it in a pool? Maybe go swimming? Yeah? That would be fun. What else does empty make you think of? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of neat, isn't it? What does empty make you think of? Have you ever had a growling in your stomach? Yeah? An empty stomach? What does that make you think of? Hungry. Yeah, food. You're not hungry? Not yet. Did you have breakfast this morning? Maybe you don't have a growly tummy because you had breakfast this morning. Did you? That's good. Did you have breakfast too? Yeah. So empty, when our tummies are empty, that's not a very fun feeling. What did you have? And a banana. That's really good. Yeah. So when our tummies are empty and they growl like that, doesn't feel very good, does it? No. So sometimes empty can be a really... And toast? Good. Sounds like a good balanced breakfast. That's great. So empty can kind of feel like a little bit of a, not a very fun feeling.
We might have had a battery failure. Do you want this thing off? It's all wrapped inside me. Yeah, it's not coming off. No. Nope, not in front of everybody. So, but when we experience God on our journey, we find things like freedom, and we find things like growth. Yeah, and peace. And we become, if we journey together as the church, the Bible says we become part of the body of Christ. And that means we're not alone. So even if we're feeling kind of empty at some point in our lives, all of these things help us to remember that together we're the body of Christ. And one of the places we experience the body of Christ is when we gather around the communion table. So I thought the next place for our little journey, our pile of rocks, should probably be on our communion table, eh? So I better pick this up. That will be bad. And we'll go, let's make a little remembering pile over here on our communion table. Not sure where the plate came from. So, when we're feeling empty, we remember God is with us on our journey. We find God's freedom and growth and peace, and we are the body of Christ. And that will help us to remember where we are. And I've lost you all, haven't I? Better luck next week. Let's have a little prayer together, shall we? I'm just totally electric this morning. Yes, that's right. I came to visit you at your house, didn't you? Yeah, when we were going to baptize your brother, didn't we? Yeah.
You were at the skating.
And I was at skating, yeah. I was watching. I wasn't skating. But next time, I'm hoping to skate.
I can't skate yet.
No?
I
you have to take practice.
Either.
You have to take practice. It's a long time. So let's...
When you start practicing skating and you know how then you learn to play hockey.
You can learn to play hockey, or you can figure skate, or all those wonderful things, or speed skating, all those things.
Or singing like a rock star.
Oh, yeah, you can take singing lessons. Let's have a little prayer, and we're going to sing a song right after this, so that's good. So let's put our hands together, and we can close our eyes, and I'll get you guys to repeat after me, okay? Okay. Okay. Psst. We're going to pray. We'll say, thank you, God, for the journey you take us on. That when we feel empty, you are always beside us. Reminding us we are the body of Christ. Amen. So, God says, reach out. And that's the hymn that we're going to sing right now. Right now, the music, stand up and sing. Did I step on you? Sorry about that.
I wasn't given the song, but for some reason.
Okay, good. Well,
Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 35. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.
one again. There we go. The little red light was off. If it goes off again, we'll know. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we move into this time of meditation, O God, may your words shine through my own. In Christ we pray. Amen. Covenants. That's the theme that we find in our scriptures this morning. Covenants. How do we understand covenants and faith? What does a covenant look like? We use the term quite regularly in the church. We talk about covenants. We talk about covenants between minister and congregation and presbytery when we covenanted together to journey. We talk about marriage as a covenant. We talk about the covenants that we hear of in our scriptures. We use the term regularly, and we may truly believe we are doing so with a good understanding of what covenant means. But the reality is, as with so many other things in Christianity, each Christian tradition brings a different viewpoint, a different nuance to the idea of what it means to have a covenant, or when they speak of covenant, what that word means in a particular tradition. So from the very basics, we generally work from a common understanding that a covenant is a solemn agreement between human beings or between God and human beings involving mutual commitments. So that's pretty bland, doesn't speak of a whole lot. But as we take that base understanding and we begin to build our understanding and our definitions, we begin to understand that covenants are about relationships. How will we be together as God and humanity? How will we understand the relationships that cause us to be together in this time and in this place on a Sunday morning or on a Tuesday evening or on a Thursday, wherever we happen to be as the community of faith? We gather together in covenant community because of faith, because we follow the way of Jesus. We do so because in Jesus... Must be battery thing. Yep. It's okay. In Jesus, we see the very image of God. And that leads us to see him in the very as an understanding of the very Christ of God. The image of God for us in the world. And so we begin a new recognition that covenants are not merely for human beings and God. Because our understanding of cosmology and our place in the world around us, we begin to understand that God establishes covenants not just with humanity, but with all creation, with all the cosmos. Last week when we talked about Noah and the covenant was not just with Noah. It was indeed with all creation. So covenants continue to expand in their understanding of how we are called to be in relationship with each other. We are called to be partners in covenant relationship with God. And therefore, we're called to be in partners in relationship with all of creation, human and otherwise. When we traditionally look at them, the covenants are between, as we read this morning from Genesis, God and Abraham. And well, Sarah kind of gets tacked on at the end there a few verses later, but God and Abraham, to the point where Abraham's name is changed from Abram to Abraham, and Sarai is changed from Sarai to Sarah. We point to the covenants between God and Moses, which is really God and the people of Israel, as we find in the Ten Commandments. But reality is that God's covenants are with all creation. And when we step into those relationships with God,
It's important for us to recall that a covenant is not a contract. It's a different thing. In modern, especially Western society, we are very focused on contractual obligations. But covenants are not contracts. And they're sometimes we interpret them with contractual elements, but they are meant to be about relationship. They're meant to be about the mutual exchange of commitment and benefit. And the main difference between a covenant and a contract is that in a contract, if you enter into a contract with someone and one party or the other doesn't meet their contractual obligations, then the contract is considered broken. And there are consequences, there are penalties, there are actions that need to be taken. A covenant, however, because of its relational understanding, when one party or the other doesn't necessarily live up to those obligations or those commitments, it doesn't mean that a covenant is necessarily broken. Contracts rely on coercive power. I have this power, you have that power, and by holding those two in tension, we'll hold each other in responsibility. But covenants are about relationship. They're more nuanced. They're about how we will be together as people, as God, as creation. And I think this is why God chooses covenant over contract. Because God is above all relational. God seeks to be as the divine in the universe in relationship, not only with the universe, but with us as well. God is not a tyrant lording power over the cosmos. God is in creative, responsive love with creation. As I was thinking about it this week, I thought about the relationship that we as creators have with our children or the little ones around us. We want them to live in love. We want them to be in good relationship. We want justice and creativity in the world. We want them to be a part of that, but we don't want to do it them to do it because they're afraid. We want them to do it because they are in love. They are in love with the world and all that is in it. So too God desires for us loving relationship. It's God's nature to love us into relationship with one another. And if we think back to the moments of creation when God established the cosmos and the universe, all of those actions were creative actions out of love. We as followers of Jesus today are part of what Jesus called a new covenant in the gospel. When Jesus calls his followers to let go of themselves and to take up the cross and to follow, it's a call to the symbol of the new covenant. Not of a legalistic structure, but a covenant relationship with the divine, with God through Christ, with creation and its divine. Christ. And Jesus tells his followers that they must be willing to lay down the life that society tells us is important. The pursuit of wealth at the expense of the earth. The disregard of our relationships with each other. And instead, the covenant to which Jesus calls us is to live and believe in one another, in our relationship, in our companionship in life. The way Jesus tells his followers to let go of these things is to lose that life in order to save it. To lose the life that depends on the things of society and instead pick up the life that is covenant relationship with God. Jesus pointed, as I shared with the children, to the empty way of a theology of scarcity and told us that that was death, and that we could leave that behind. And instead, Jesus called us and calls us today to a new covenant, to live in the body of Christ, to live in freedom, to live in growth of relationship, to live in the journey, and to live in Christ's peace. All who seek to save their lives will lose it. Those who recognize the covenant of relationship will gain an eternal life. May we in the church find new ways to live into the depth of God's love. Amen. Are announcements that need to be shared? Invited to come forward.
Well, I understand you all missed me last week because I wasn't up here. But I'm here this week. And I want to bring up the maple syrup. As you all heard, it's running early. We're not even halfway to where we were last year at this time. So get your orders in. Please get your orders in. And I'll make sure you give me the money before you get your maple syrup. So please do that because time is getting short. Another few days we'll be in the March. And I need your orders in no later than the middle of March. So please think about it and get it done. Don't say, I didn't know you were selling maple syrup, because I am. Thank you.
Gord Rose is close by. I'm calling him up. As most of you know, we operate a resource center upstairs. We have volunteers who work certain hours during the week. We go out to book displays at different churches, Presbytery, UCW. We have a great supply of greeting cards, all for, for any occasion. We have study books, there are some novels up there, and we have quite a good selection of children's books. And in, for example, I just bought two board books this week written by a Nova Scotia author, and I'm going to give them to two friends of mine who have just had babies. Anyway, this is a fundraising opportunity for the church, so we would like your support all of the time, and in fact, we get it from the whole presbytery, so I'm presenting a check to the Finance Committee for $2,500.
Well, I was here last week. I'm back. Church in a pub, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, my house. I only have seats for 20, but I'd like to fill those and more. And I asked Michael the question that I'm going to pose today, is can the Trinity be proven in the Bible? And he was back at me like that. So I don't know if he wants to tell you the answer, but if you show up Tuesday for sure, there'll be other questions that you can get asked.
And I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's brought books in. Our book for mission and service, our bookshelf is all full. So we have a little glass jar there for donations this week. Roger's been sick, so he didn't get to make the actual box. But that will come next week. But there's a glass jar there. And please feel free to to do whatever you would like with the books. So thank you very much.
A group has been meeting after church over the last several weeks to talk about what reconciliation with Indigenous peoples looks like. There is another meeting today after church. We call them brown bag lunches. If you didn't bring your brown bag but you'd like to stay, there are muffins. Get a coffee and come up and join us. You'll see in your bulletin today one product of the meetings we've had, and that is the fact sheet about residential schools and what Indigenous, what reconciliation looks like. I encourage you to read it. Next week we have a special guest speaker coming to talk to us about the reconciliation process. And we've been encouraged by Kairos to consider hosting a blanket exercise, and we would like to do that. We've set on Saturday, April 14th is the date we'll do that. That's quite a ways in the future yet, but I would ask you to mark your calendars and to learn more about it. We'll be telling you more about it, and consider joining us. Thank you.
Good morning. It looks like Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock is a busy night in the life of the church. This Tuesday at 7 o'clock is the evening version of the Healthy Living, Healthy Living, Laughter, and Learning Group, and that it will be held at St. Andrew's Anglican Church on Forest Hills at 7 o'clock in their library. And there will be a speaker, a dietitian from Sobeys, coming to talk about saturated fats, the new research on that. So it should prove very informative. And as usual, the regular Healthy Living, Laughter, and Learning Group meets on Thursday mornings at 9:30.
Chester, what are you doing?
What? Well, Wendell Swindell.
That's Wendell Swindell, thank you.
I'll have you know, I'm looking for something.
What, pray tell, are you looking for?
Hold on. Yes, sir, right there. I just leave. Well, did you hear the story?
You're going to tell me, aren't you?
It made the news. It came in on the last stagecoach. There's a fella up there in the hills. He was out there searching for some. He was shooting possum for his family, you know, feeding his family. And he took aim. He fired. And, well, now then, he's rich.
Oh.
Up out of there, it just comes spurting out of the ground.
I like rich.
Excuse me.
As the owner and trustee of the Bank of Tightwad in Lawless Junction, I like rich.
Yeah, I understand. Listen, I know you got your mind set on setting this announcement we've been asked to make. I got to find it here in all these legal papers. Give me a second.
Time is money.
But I'm not a rich man like you.
You got that right.
I got to find whatever way I can to get myself rich. So I'm figuring that stuff flows downhill, and we're down here, and he was up there, so I'm looking for his places to shoot. Anyway, you ready?
Ready as y'all ever be.
Apparently, we're supposed to announce a dinner theater coming up. When is it?
It's the last weekend in April, first weekend in May.
Right. It costs real money.
It costs money. As a banker, I'm willing to loan you the money at reasonable rates, of course.
I've heard about your rates and your conditions, Wendell Swindell.
Yes.
I'm not taking you up on that offer. I'll win my money in the card table. Anyway, what I got here is $35 a ticket, but then it says $30 a ticket. Now, that's awful confusing to a person of my education. 35, 30. What does that mean?
Pre-ticket sales for $30 if you buy them before the 1st of April. After the 1st of April, it's $35.
Oh. Then there's one here that's only $15. Now, does that mean that you just get an empty plate?
You get half as much for twice a... Give me your money and I'll show you. That is for the dress rehearsal the Thursday before.
Look, I think they all should just be seeing these numbers for themselves to do their own ciphering, because if they come to you, you're liable to walk off with their wallets.
Yes.
Anyway, it's on apparently April 27th, 28th, May 4th, and May 5th. And y'all come down now, you hear?
And please, bring your money. I'll take very good care of it.
I'm glad I don't have to follow that moment of permission for Cindy.
Our gifts for mission and service support community ministries across Canada. Anticipation builds as the children and youth wait for the muffins they made to bake. Different ages and backgrounds, everyone joins together on this summer day at the London Community Chaplaincy. I love the community with the kids. Everybody is like everybody else's family, says summer counselor Ashley DeBaker. The chaplaincy provides advocacy and support for families who face the challenges of living in poverty in two housing complexes in London, Ontario. The summer programs for children and youth are part of the year-round mix aimed at helping children learn while having fun. Drop-in programs allow children to learn crafts like making beaded animals and play cooperative games.
We teach kids so that they don't get left behind in the summertime. So they don't forget what they learned in school, says George Bostomast, summer evening program coordinator. He is describing the Summer Reading Buddies program, where children are partnered one-on-one to help improve their reading skills. Sydney Fransman, summer camp director, describes Alphabet Soup, a summer program for children in grades 2, 3, and 4 to better their reading, like school, but in a fun way. United Church of Canada Mission and Service support is key for London Community Chaplaincy, says Chaplain Pam Cullen, Executive Director. It becomes one of our main funders for the year.
If mission and service giving is already a part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join us in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of mission and service.
Both. In that spirit, we continue our worship as we present gifts and offerings. us sing. As we gather in these gifts of God, gifts of yours, O God, to us, we ask that your blessing would continue to rest upon them, those that are here in our offering plates, those through prayer, and those that are gifts of our lives, the time and the talent that we are willing to share. May each of us be blessed as we serve in our world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us share together in a time of prayer. Spirit of God, in whom we live within a covenant relationship, a promise, a way of being together as people of faith, gathered under the umbrella of Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, under the umbrella of the United Church of Canada, under the umbrella of the gift of your life to all humankind, under the umbrella of your love for your creation, the world in which we live. May we continue as we have tried in our past to walk in faith, in love, in justice, and in peace with you, our God, and with our neighbor. May we hear the words of Jesus as a challenge to always be examining our lives and the ways in which we interact with each other, to ensure that we truly are living within the realm of your love. May we find ourselves struggling with understandings and ideas. If we find ourselves struggling in so many aspects of our lives, may we find your Spirit within us and within our relationships to help us discern new paths, new ways, new hopes and opportunities. At this time in our worship, as we, the people, gather together in prayer, we think of so many situations around our world. We continue to think of the places where violence seems to be the norm, where poverty is overwhelming to so many people, where the need for basic clean water and food is absent, for the places where people mourn. May we, through our lives and our living and our prayers and our gifts and our talents, bring new life and hope to those places. It is not enough for us to send our thoughts and prayers. Our actions must accompany them. May we find ways to reach out beyond ourselves, beyond the walls of our church, and continue to serve the humanity and the creation you love. May we continue to reach out to our brothers and sisters in this community of faith. May we find ways to bring the comfort and care of Christ to one another. We are human and we don't always live the way that we ought, but we are faithful in that we do try to stay in step with you, our God. May we reach out and not turn in. In our prayer this morning, as we reach out, we do, in faith, offer prayer. For we do believe in the connectedness of all humankind in your Spirit. And prayer is the way in which we exercise that connectedness. Today we pray as we name Willie and Dorothy and Peter and Gary, Zida and Gail, Millie, Simon and Glenn, Eric, Floyd, Jean, Faith, Gary, Carolyn, Neil, Matilda, David, Audrey, Sean. These are names we have spoken aloud, so many names are spoken each moment of each life in our hearts. May we find strength in you, our God. May we walk in faith with you. May we walk in company with each other. And may the Spirit guide us and uphold us. This is our prayer this day as we share together Jesus' words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our closing hymn this morning, number 634, In Voices United. So as we leave this time and this place, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us, those we love and those we find it hard to love, now and forever.